I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have any bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and self-ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and you cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. May God add his blessing and understanding to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the reading of the word. You know, this is more of the wisdom from James, and there is a lot of wisdom. Much of what James says is hard to argue with. I mean, think about it. For example, show by your good life your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Do we not know that Jesus said the same thing? Let people see your good works. Make sure people can see that you're one of my followers. People judge us by our actions. And if we say, oh, I'm a Christian and I go to church every Sunday, but we go out and we hate, we disrespect, we dislike, whatever it is we do, they're watching. And their idea of what a Christian is by what they see their neighbor do or their friends at work, wherever it may be, they're going to be wondering, well, what's going on? Why is this person who says they're Christian doing these things? So James tells us that it's important that we live what we believe. After preaching the Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount, we hear in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. In plain language, he is saying, if you are a believer in God the Father, a follower of mine, then live what you believe. That's pretty straightforward, is it not? So James tells us, show by your good life your works. Seems to have been a good follower of his brother, doesn't he? This book by James, as I told you last week, this letter, this is actually James, the brother of Jesus, not James of James and John, the sons of thunder. And this James, this brother of Jesus, became the head of the community of faith in Jerusalem after Jesus died and was resurrected. I'm going to tell you a story, and you may know this writer. There's a writer, a guy that's been writing books for a lot of years, Bruce Larson. And he tells a story about when he was a small boy. And he says when he was a small boy in Chicago, he used to go to this Gothic Presbyterian church. It was huge. He says the preaching was powerful and the music was great. But for me, the most awesome moment in the morning service was the offertory when 12 solemn frock-coated ushers marched in step down the aisle to receive the brass plates for collecting the offering. These men, so serious about their business of serving the Lord in this magnificent house of worship, were the business and professional leaders of the community in Chicago. One of the 12 ushers was a man named Frank Loesch. Anyone here recognize that name? This guy was really famous in Chicago, and you can read about him. I mean, there's books on him, and you can find him on the internet. He was not a very imposing-looking man, but in Chicago, he was a living legend, for he was the man who stood up to Al Capone. In the Prohibition years, Capone's rule was absolute. Local, state, and even the FBI, before we hear about the Untouchables, wouldn't mess with him. That's how powerful he was. He was very powerful. So here's this guy that decides by himself, single-handedly, to start the Chicago Crime Commission. Now, Frank was an attorney and a Christian layman, and he didn't get much government support at the time, but these groups of citizens were determined to take Capone down and get that grip that he had on Chicago off so they could live their lives without fear. During the months the Crime Commission met, Frank's life was in constant danger. There were threats on not only him, but on his family and his friends, but he never wavered. Ultimately, he won the case against Capone and was the instrument for removing Capone from the city of Chicago. Now, here's another part about Frank, though. Frank had risked his life to live out his faith. Each Sunday, at this point in the service, when they did their offering, this guy never failed to be there and to take that offering in the midst of all of this that was going on. And as Bruce sat there, and these men would come down the aisle, his father, Bruce's father, would point at Frank with pride. Bruce says at times he even saw a tear in his father's eye as he pointed at Frank. He says his dad was so proud to know a man that was authentically living the Christian life. For my dad and for all of us, this was and is what authentic living is all about. To imagine carrying that much weight, having someone threaten to kill you, your family, your friends, but you stand up and you do what you know is right. That was the pride that Bruce and his father had in Frank. And then we hear these words that were read by Terry. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Chicago became peaceful. Have you ever known people in your lifetime who you believe had or have wisdom from above? People who were or are pure, not judging anyone by their race, creed, color, or sexual orientation. Have you known such a person who lives authentically the life of Jesus Christ? How about someone who is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy? Do you know someone like that? Are you someone like that? All of these attributes are not only listed here by James, but were preached by Jesus. Perhaps we should take a look at the differences between a good person, a good Christian, and a good practitioner of the teachings of Jesus. Do you think these three are the same? Some of us know good people. They may not be what we call good Christians. They may not even believe in God. But they're a good person. So that there's that difference. Then some people are good Christians, and you know how they're judged? Well, they come to church every Sunday. Now, they may go home after church and beat their wives and their kids or vice versa, whatever it is, but they come to church every Sunday and people say, he's a good Christian. She's a good Christian. They come every Sunday. But not necessarily a good person. Then we have the good practitioner of the teachings of Jesus. Now, if you do that, the other two should fall in place, should they not? If you're a good practitioner of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to be a good person and you're going to be a good Christian. Because you're living the gospel. That authenticity. I read it, I believe it, I live it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's not easy. There are things that Jesus requires that I just can't do. Like, love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, forgive 7 times 70. Well, as I said, these three are very different in nature, and 2 out of 3 are easily obtainable for most people, but that last one's really difficult. I don't know how many of you ever read anything by Somerset Maugham, but it's interesting to read his story, and here's a little note on that. Somerset Maugham's mother was an extraordinarily beautiful woman, and she married an extraordinarily ugly man. Not my judgment, what was written. When a family friend once asked how such a beautiful woman could have married such an ugly man, she replied, "He has never once hurt my feelings." That was her measuring stick. Now, we could place Somerset's father in the category of nice or kind based on this information, but to say that he was a good Christian, well, we don't really know. We don't know that he even went to church. But we know that he never hurt anyone's feelings, especially hers. So what do we say about people? Are they a good person, a good Christian, or a good practitioner of the teachings of Jesus? A young pastor who served a country church when he was in college had a family in his church named Davison. They were some of the finest people. One day he complimented one of the Davisons on their love and loyalty to Christ. He said, "Tell me why the Davisons are so devoted and active for Christ." And one of the men said, "When we were boys, we were rough and wild and rowdy. Every Saturday night, we took our pistols and our bottles of liquor, and we went into town, where we had a hilarious time," he said. "Our good Christian mother pled with us not to do this, but we paid no attention to her. One Sunday morning, we came home around 2 a.m. We put the horses in the barn and headed for the house, and then we heard the voice of someone over in the grove. When we went over there, we found our mother on her knees praying. We took her into the house. We told her she should not do this anymore, but she said, 'Yes, I will be coming back. I have decided when you are in town on Saturday night, I will spend every minute out here on my knees praying for you.' The next Saturday night, we took our pistols and our bottles to town, but we didn't enjoy the evening because we couldn't help but think of our mother on her knees in the grove. We went back another Saturday night, and it was worse. When we reached home, we said, 'Mother, we can't stand this anymore. Show us the way to Christ. We want to be Christians. We want to be Christians. We want to be the Christians you want us to be. We were all converted, and that is why we are the Christians we are today.'" This is a very moving story. And it tells us that this persistence of this mother and her prayer for her kids brought them back in line. We hear the mom brought the boys to Christ, but what do we not hear in this story? Did the boys give up any of the prejudices they had? Were they the kind of people who loved their neighbors as themselves? Did they turn the other cheek or forgive 7 times 70? We don't know. We don't hear that. We know the mother's prayer brought them to church, But as we have said many times, you can come to church every Sunday. That doesn't make you a Christian. Not in the way that you behave. You see, all we hear is that they started going to church. That they committed themselves to Christ. Now, folks, we see people, we've seen them our whole lives, and in 38 years of ministry, I've seen people come down the aisle and they want to be baptized. They come down the aisle and they want to confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they want to do. They do that, and then they go out the door and they continue life as it was. Or they go out the door and then you don't see them anymore. Walking down an aisle to join a church does not make us followers of Christ. In fact, oftentimes it is our allegiance to a particular doctrine than the teachings that we're confessing of Jesus's. For example, and I've actually heard this, people come down the aisle and they say, I'm joining this church because this church believes the right way. They believe in immersion. That's why they're joining. People go down the aisle and say, I'm joining because you believe in sprinkling or you believe in pouring. And that's what I like. Some of them will come down and say, I join because you have communion every Sunday. You don't hear about their belief in Jesus Christ or what they believe about what they're reading and learning about Jesus. They believe in the doctrine of the church. Am I saying that's a bad thing? No. Am I saying that that's different than making a commitment to Christ? Absolutely. We may like the doctrine. That doesn't mean we like the teachings. It's one of the things, and I'm going to say this out loud, it's one of the things I love about the Disciples of Christ Church is we believe, notice I say we as a church, we believe that everybody should believe the way they want to. If you're a conservative, you're welcome. If you're a liberal, you're welcome. If you're in between, you're welcome. Whoever you are, we believe you come together and you praise God. We don't tell people no. You don't fall into line with what we believe because our belief is everybody's different and we accept those differences. We believe that you can be sprinkled or poured. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be immersed. You come forward, you join the church, and you can be from a faith who did it differently. We're fine with that. We don't say you got to do it again because we're the only ones that know how to do it. We believe in a community of faith where people of all walks of life and varying beliefs and even political beliefs can come together for the pleasure and the joy of raising Jesus' name in praise. This is one of the reasons, as I said, that I love the Disciples of Christ. It's appealing to me to know that there are people who are loving and accepting and love their neighbor as themselves, regardless of their own personal beliefs. But again, these are church doctrines that we talked about earlier and beliefs that we're talking about, but we need to talk about practicing the faith, what Jesus teaches. Here's some scripture for you. Matthew 18, 21, 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the community sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times. I tell you, 77 times. Mark 9:35, he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Matthew 23:12, all who exalt themselves will be humbled and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Does that describe any of you so far? Is this who you are? 6:31-34, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And last, but certainly not least, from Matthew 5, 8 through 10, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All of these are teachings, and I want to encourage you to go through the Gospels. In particular, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'd like for you to read the teachings of Jesus. The teachings. And see where you stand. I do, and I fail miserably. I know that. And I try harder. Because I keep reading and I keep saying, gosh, that's so hard. And I'm trying really hard to fall in line. But you can't, I believe, always do it. But you can never try. You may have your moments of weakness. After all, didn't Peter? He denied that he even knew Jesus. Three times. Again, I ask that all of us take our Bibles in hand and read the teachings of Jesus. As you know, it is impossible to be a practitioner of the teachings of Jesus if you never read them. And we may begin with the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. You can begin there. But trust me, all through the Gospels you're going to find teachings. There's so much more. If we are intentional in wanting to be followers of Christ, if we are intentional in our desires to be practitioners of the teachings of Christ, then we must study the Lord's teachings. And what happens if we do? We'll have a harvest of righteousness. That is what James is telling us. Live this. Live it. And if you live it, then you will have a harvest of righteousness. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. And how do you get that good life? By learning what Jesus teaches us to do. Finally, James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist evil, and it will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you have moments of weakness, when you feel that you're alone, when you feel that it's just too hard, drop to your knees and pray. Or stand. However you want to pray, pray. And say, Lord, this is really tough. Help me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may do that which you have taught me to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, oftentimes we fail. We know that we find ourselves in this world and sometimes we get angry, we get unhappy, we're not nice to others, sometimes we're not even nice to ourselves. But Lord, we want to be better, and we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that we may grow in your Word, reading it, practicing it, living it. Fill us with your Spirit, hold us in your loving arms, and guide us through this world, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.